Hello, my friends. Today is the sermon and readings for May 10th. I have a few things I'm going to talk to you about, but one of the most important ones today is that this is going to be dealing with Mary, the Mother of God, today. The readings are for the martyrdom of Stephen, which will tie into this, but I think you're going to enjoy this today. Our first reading is from the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Seven chosen to serve. Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. In Jerusalem and in a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen is seized. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, well, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." The stoning of Stephen. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against me." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This ends our reading. Our next reading is Psalm 146, and I think you'll enjoy this. "Put not your trust in princes. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, and the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. This ends our psalm. Our epistle reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2. A living stone and a holy people. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This ends our epistle lesson. And our gospel lesson is John 14, verses 1 through 14. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that when I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This ends our gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are celebrating the martyrdom of the Apostle Stephen, the first martyr. But I think there was a martyr before him we do not discuss enough in the church, and that is Jesus' mother, Mary. In the ancient church, this Sunday is the special day that is the celebration of the Theotokos, which is Greek for God's mother. My friends, we talk about Jesus 51 Sundays out of the year. I think we can celebrate one Sunday for Jesus' mom, don't you think? Well, is Mary important? You bet. Well, who decided that? Well, God did. God tells us about the role of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, in the book of Isaiah, and I quote, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In the prophecy we see in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, God tells us that there will be a Savior. Now, we know God can change his mind, but he is always consistent about what he says, and God follows what he decrees too. So, because of Isaiah, we know the Mother of God will be of the house and lineage of David, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So, is Jesus actually called Emmanuel? Well, he's called Jesus, but he's referred to as Emmanuel. And again, yes to both. So, Emmanuel means God is with us, and Jesus in Hebrew means God saves. And I really think these are two names that work together. Don't you think that too? God is with us, and he saves us. Well, today is the remembrance of the stoning of my namesake, Stephen, which in Greek means the crowned one. So, Stephen is special. Someone who gives everything to witness and serve the one who saves us, Jesus. But as I mentioned earlier, isn't there someone who also gives everything in her service to God? Yes, Mary the Theotokos. I found it really interesting that as I studied, there are a lot of Hebrew names that are Egyptian in background. And Mary's name in Hebrew, Miriam, is one of those names. Now, in Hebrew, it usually means the rebellious one. And I got to thinking about that. How can that be? She is the most obedient one to God, but she brings an end to the first covenant of Judaism, a rebellion against the order of the existing Jewish religion. So the rebellious one sort of fits, doesn't it? However, in Egyptian, and I really like this, it means the beloved of Amun, or the beloved of the one true God. But as Paul Harvey says, there's more to this story. I really enjoyed doing research on this one, and I spent more time on this probably than I should have, but I found it fascinating because when I learned something, You probably will hear it too, but this was really interesting to me. We know there are many gods in Egypt, but there was a movement among the pharaohs to get rid of the plethora of gods and worship the one true God, the god Amun. Now, this rejection of the plethora of gods existed for only a few pharaohs, but one of them we really know well, and that's Tutankhamun. See the Amun at the end of his name? That means he's the follower of the one true God. All right, so where is this going? Mary, Miriam in both Hebrew and Egyptian, means the beloved of Amun, or the beloved of the one true God. God is so consistent about what he does, I find it sometimes almost unbelievable, especially when we hear the rest of the story. So, we have Mary, who is the beloved one of the one true God, and was selected not only by God, but by God's prophecy 1,000 years earlier to be the mother of God. Now, we celebrate the selection in a sudden day called Annunciation. And that's one of the things that leads us into Advent. Luke shares what the angel Gabriel has to say about this in chapter 1 of his gospel. Now, angel means the messenger of God. And this messenger was sent to Mary, the beloved one of God. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now that ends that reading from the first chapter of Luke. As I studied preparing for this message, I have to admit I knew some of this, but I learned a lot too. And that's what I'm trying to share with you is the background story of this. God selected Mary for a reason, because she was the one who was worthy to bear the Savior of the world, the Son of God, our Emmanuel, who came to save us. When Stephen gave everything, he did not question what he was asked to do in his service to our Lord. But I think Mary was just as much a martyr as what Stephen was, even though she did not give her life at this time. But she gave everything at that time, her firstborn son in her service to God. Not knowing he would be back with her in 3 days to save all of us. But can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary? A mother who saw her son raised on the cross and dying in front of her in one of the most painful, horrific deaths there was. A martyr is someone who gives everything to the Lord. And I think in this case, that term martyr fits Mary. My dear Christian friends, this is the reason why I chose to talk with you about the Theotokos, the Mother of God, who was the beloved one of God and was deemed worthy of bearing God's Son from that beloved of God who bore the way, the truth, and the light, so that we may have everlasting life with Jesus in heaven. This is most certainly true. Amen. May this look at the Theotokos help keep your hearts and minds on the meaning of our common salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.